So I just want to do a quick, we're recording the meeting, just do a quick roll call just to make sure who's here. I have board members Baucus, Brewington, Streichinger, and Anderson, and staff that are here, Joel Metlin, Michael Parker, Stephanie Swetland, and Kim Olson. So board member Streichinger, if you want to open the meeting, we'll get going.
Sure. We'll call this meeting of the Oregon Retirement Savings Board to order. And could we just do a board member roll call just so that we have on record everybody's presence?
Yes, I can. Corey Streichinger?
I'm here.
Edward Brewington?
Here.
Kara Baucus?
Here.
And Jeff Anderson?
Here.
Great. And we're just missing Treasurer Reed, but we do have a quorum.
Okay, great. And so purpose of today's meeting is to review and act on proposed final rules, and I believe, Kim, you're going to present those rules to us. Is that right?
Yes, that is the case.
Okay, please go ahead.
All right. So as I described at the last board meeting, we were in the middle of a rulemaking round, a permanent rulemaking round, the last time we met. We're just finalizing that now. So we had a hearing on Tuesday, February 19th. We only had one person testify on behalf of the American Benefits Council at that hearing. And then we closed the comment period for these rules on Friday, February 22nd. And we only had one set of comments. Those were also from the American Benefits Council. And the American Benefits Council comments, so they were both on the RAC, like they were represented on the RAC, and their comments were only in strong support of the rulemaking. There wasn't anything in there that really said that we should do anything different. They were very happy with what we've done. So there wasn't much to add. What you'll see in the rules that I sent around are, it's very similar to what we had as a temporary rule back in the fall. If you'll remember, we put these into a temporary rule back in October because we realized that our rules were not in line with practice. So temporary rules can only stay in place for up to 6 months, and then they expire. The temporary rule would then expire next week. So if we file these by the end of the week, then we won't have any gap in having these rules in place. So I'll just walk you through them, and then please, if anyone has any questions at any time or wants to stop and have a discussion, just chime in.
So, Kim, I'll just jump in right off the top. I am on the phone, this is class. Sorry for the delay in getting here, but keep going, please.
No problem. Thanks. Okay, so in the first rule, which is 0010, you'll see an adjustment to definitions of exempt employer. So basically, we just said that an exempt employer is one that offers a qualified plan to some or all of its employees. And as opposed to just having one item there, we have two. So either they have filed a certificate of exemption or they've received this notice of presumed exemption from the program. And as we discussed this in our previous meetings, the way this works is that we've decided that from time to time, the program will look at the 5500 form that businesses file with the Department of Labor. And if they indicate that they already offer a qualified plan, then we're going to presume them exempt. We will send them a letter. And if they've received one of these letters, then they are presumed exempt until such time that they do not offer a qualified plan anymore. So that's the first rule. If we move to the rule 0015 on the next page, that we just have one item that changed there saying except as provided in subsection E. So if you move to subsection E, you will see this element of the presumed exemption again here. And what is new in this area that we didn't have before, which was something that the RAC brought up, was we have information for a registration date for new employers, but we didn't have any information for a registration date for an exempt employer that ceases to offer a plan. So we added that registration date here saying that if you're an exempt employer and you cease to offer a plan, either your registration date is the date specified above in the rule. Let's say that you have a very small business and you stop offering a plan and we haven't gotten to your wave yet, then you justify by your wave. Or if we're past your wave, then it's 90 days after you cease to offer a plan. So that's new. Does anyone have any comments or questions on that? Okay, hearing none. I'll move to Rule 0020, and this is precisely what it was before in terms of the layout and what the rule looked like. So we're just saying, again, from time to time, we're going to compare the form. We're going to look at the Form 5500 filings. If we identify the employer, we're going to send that that letter out to the employer as saying, you know, you have a qualified plan, we're presuming you're exempt. If we determine, because we look at the 5500, that an employer no longer has a qualified plan, or that we don't identify them as having a current Form 5500 on file, we then would send them written notice saying that they need to file a certificate of exemption or register with the program. And then if you're an exempt employer who has a presumed exemption, but then no longer have a qualified plan, then you are required as an exempt employer to notify the program administrator and register with the program. So this is all the same as it was previously. It's been in rule since October. So the only other item that we changed, and this was new, is if you flip the page under alternate elections. And this was a change that we were mostly wanting to comport with current practice, which is that if a employee wants to, I have it written down in a nicer way here. The employee wants to use another election other than the standard. If the employee wants to change a contribution amount, or if the employee wants to cease contributions, they could previously do all those things through their facilitating employer. And we've decided that it makes more sense to just send them to the program administrator. This reduces the burden on the facilitating employer and also keeps us from a situation where potentially a facilitating employer could do something like change the elections of their employees to zero without telling them. So we just kind of eliminated that as a contingency. So you'll see that throughout. We just basically filled in program administrator where it used to say facilitating employer. So those are all of the changes. Does anyone have any comments or questions?
Kim, this is Deborah Brewington.
Sure.
Ms. Brewington, go ahead, please.
Oh, thank you. On the employer exemption 0020, we say that the administrator shall, from time to time, is that sufficient discipline, meaning that we don't have to say that we have to do it, you know, annually, every few years, or any particular time frame? Just a question, that's all.
Right. You know, we had discussed making it more specific, and we decided that for right now, we would rather not give it a specific time. And potentially, you know, since the rules are pretty easy to change in the future, we could change that and make it more specific. But right now, because of the rollout of the program and not knowing how much effort it will take to do something like that, that maybe we wanted to make it a little more vague.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
There are other questions or comments?
This is Kara. I just had a quick question about the alternate elections for Kim. So can you just explain, you know, whether are there any changes that the employee can make that would go through the employer, or does every change now go through the program administrator?
Joel, you're on the call, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, Joel will correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the only time that we go through the employer at this point is if you're opting out from the program originally. Is that correct, Joel?
Technically, yes and no at the same time. So they could fill out the opt-out form and hand it to the employer, but the employer is still sending it to the program administrator to process. So the employer doesn't actually make the change. They can just stand in between in that case.
But that's the only example.
That's the only example, because everything else has been handed over between the client and client services, and the employer is taken out of the middle.
Okay. Thank you. That makes sense.
Okay. Great. And you'll notice that, you know, the upside to part of that is in that item two, we eliminated a sentence that said employers may limit the processing of contribution election changes to one change per month. So now you could be making that change all the time. I mean, you could change it all as often as you like. I mean, it'd be kind of odd, but you could. So.
this is Corey with a question.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, please.
So it's my understanding that if the employee does does make a change, let's say they up or down their contribution rate, and they now make that, or they have been making it with the administrator, the system is set up so that the employer then gets some type of flag or notice so that they know that the payroll deduction has changed. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. They'll get a notice through the system.
Thank you. Then I guess my comment would be I'm impressed with the fact that we are finding additional ways to simultaneously keep the program very usable for savers, but also keep the administrative burden on employers getting less instead of more.
Yeah, Joel and I had a conversation this morning. It was really interesting. Two people, one who was pretty positive and one who was pretty not. And we kept going back to that point of we're trying to make it better. We're trying to reduce the impact. So it's a good reminder, too. Are there other comments or questions? Apologize again for my late arrival. Kim, we might be ready for a motion. Is that right?
Yes.
And the motion.
So move.
Great. Mr. Brewington moves approval of the rule changes as proposed. I think we need.
Actually, Mr. Anderson.
I'm sorry, Mr. Anderson. That sounded like Mr. Brewington from. It's the problem of doing it over the phone. The two of you have voices that sound a little alike. Mr. Anderson moves approval of the rules as changed. Given my error, Mr. Brewington, would you be willing to be a second?
Yeah, Mr. Brewington seconds.
Mr. Brewington seconds. We can make some lemonade out of my lemons here. Is there any discussion of the motion? Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing none. Go ahead.
That given that we're on the phone, I assume we need a roll call.
Okay, we can do that. Missy, are you on? Could you call the roll, please?
Yes, Tobias, this is Michael. I'll call the roll.
Great. Thanks, please.
Board Member Streisinger?
Yes.
Board Member Brewington?
Yes.
Board Member Bacchus?
Yes.
Board Member Anderson?
Yes.
And Chair Reed?
I'm a former legislator. I have to say aye. Yes. So that sounds like a unanimous approval, and that the motion carries, and the rule changes are approved. Kim, do we need to do anything else?
We don't need to do anything else. The only item I wanted to raise with the board as an information item is if you look at rule 0020 on employer exemptions, and right above where we started making changes in that number two, we talk about the certificate of exemption being valid for 3 years from the date the employer files a certificate, and that this is where we kicked the can down the road, if many of you remember, when we wrote these. We said a certificate of exemption may be renewed by following a process of recertification to be established by the board not later than December 31st, 2019, and it is now 2019. So this is an item we're going to have to take up this year. And so if anyone has any ideas on what a recertification process might look like, please put those together in an email and send them my way so we can start thinking about how we want to tackle this item.
Thank you for the reminder. Yes, please let us know. Anything else that we need to cover, Michael?
Nope. I think we're good.
Can you remind us of our next regularly scheduled meeting, please?
Our next regularly scheduled meeting is, I'm going to make sure I get this right.
There's a 7th coming around
it's
here.
It's May 7th. That is correct.
Okay. Very good.
And I don't believe there's any public on the call, but if you should probably ask and call for public comment.
Thank you for the reminder of moving too quickly from one to the other. Is there any public comment? Don't hear any. So unless there's anything else, I think we will adjourn and see you all on May 7th. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.